Things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
Second round action tips off on Friday at the FIBA Basketball World Cup for Men. Joining us once again for a preview is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Unfortunately, we will not see any African teams in the second round, Mukbil. Still, I think Africa can take some hope from the performance of the five African teams. Your thoughts on how they did in the first round?
Yeah, I definitely would agree. You know, it's always a positive experience when you can take something from it. Fortunately, I could say for the African teams, they all were able to manage to get one win at least in the group phases. So nobody went home without at least getting one victory in, seeing how that feels, and making sure that the next opportunity that they have, they will be able to make it to the second round. All of them, oddly, though, have the exact same record with one win and two losses, some in harder groups than others, but nonetheless the same result.
I looked at the final games for two of the African teams, must win for both to advance, and unfortunately very tough opponents for South Sudan and Cape Verde. South Sudan lost to Serbia by a score of 115-83. And Slovenia defeated Cape Verde 92-77. Tough matchups for those teams, Mukbil.
If we're talking Slovenia, they have Luka Doncic, arguably one of the best stars in the NBA. And he's also leading in scorers with his point tally at over 30 points per game. So what do you expect? You know, unfortunately, you meet Luka and the team. It's a very difficult feat. And then on the other side, you have Serbia without Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP, and also without another European star of theirs who now has been who now I believe is playing for the OKC Thunder. So you have two of their top players not in the FIBA World Cup, but still a very dominating performance in their group.
I know we mentioned this young man during our coverage of Basketball Africa League Season 3, plays for South Sudan, and he didn't, you know, he got some experience, some valuable experience. Kaman Malawak, 7 feet one, only 16 years old. He turns 17 next month. One of the youngest players ever to play at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. I think he's kind of a symbol, Mukbil, of South Sudan's bright future.
I would definitely agree. I think he is a symbol for what NBA Africa and what the BAL is trying to do on the continent right now. So this young man is only 16 years old and is playing amongst grown men. At the moment, I believe they have him for the 2025 NBA draft eligibility. So that means that he will be going into that draft lottery at still, what, about 18 years old?
Right, right.
You know, so just him being eligible for that is going to be one thing. But for them to want to work with some of these younger African talents and working with African players from such young ages in the past, you know, when we look at the Joel Embiids and the Pascal Siakams, the Kimba Mutombos, Hakeem Olajuwon, these guys, it wasn't until their later years, you know, maybe like a senior in high school or if they're lucky, sometimes they'll catch them a year or two outside of high school and just put them into these prep schools or colleges. It's the first time these guys really play experienced or high quality or high level basketball. Now with the NBA Academy, with the BAL, you know, with the Ball Elevate, you know, so many different things from a grassroots standpoint that is now allowing these younger African players to be able to have that foundation, building them up, almost similarly to what the academies do for football, right? For soccer. Throughout the world, you have these bigger clubs that'll have under 12s, under 14s, under 15s,
right,
and build them up that way. So I think this is what's happening, and Africa is the future.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the FIBA Basketball World Cup for men. Mukbil, want to give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for an Angolan player, Bruno Fernando, who visited our VOA headquarters right here in Washington earlier this year. He played pretty well for Angola, Mukbil.
He did. He averaged about 13.3 points a game for the Angolan side. And alongside him is one of my favorite players in the BAL, Childe Dundau.
Scrappy, you know, player. Scrappy.
Scrappy.
Fast.
Lightning speed, you know, really the engine for Petro for years. So it's great to see the contrast between an NBA player and a BAL player playing together alongside each other, complementing each other. Maybe they just needed a little bit extra to push them over. But it's great to see that experience, you know, for the BAL players like Childe to play alongside an NBA player for his national team. I think it was awesome.
And did you think the Angolan team met your expectations, Mukbil, or did you think maybe they would make it through to the second round?
You know, I think, unfortunately, for a lot of the African teams, you know, they were just in groups that were very challenging. And maybe this was just kind of like a sign that showed that maybe they need just a little bit more to push a little bit over that hump. But they're right there with the competition. So I think, you know, hats off to them and the rest of the African teams for doing what they needed to do to at least get one win in so that they know that, hey, we can hang. You know, we can hang. Maybe the next time it'll be two wins and you get over to the other side.
Well, Mukbil, I know you've been taking a look at the statistics from the FIBA Men's Basketball World Cup. Who are some of the leading scorers at the competition?
So we have the man, Luka Doncic, as we mentioned, about 30 points a game, leading all scorers. You have Rondae Hollis-Jefferson for Jordan, averaging 27.7 points a game. You know, he really was, you know, their only bit of offense, you know, for that Jordanian side. And some said he plays for Jordan, looks like Kobe, you know. he's getting buckets, man. So yeah, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Then you have Jordan Clarkson, the man that plays for Utah, the Utah Jazz, playing for the Philippines right now. He's a Filipino American, and he's averaging about 24 points per game. Really was pretty much the only offense that the Filipino side had. Unfortunately, they will not be going to the next round. And then Joshua Hawkinson for Japan, averaging 23.3 points. Then to close off the top five, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, averaging 22 points per game. I really like the Canadian side, though. I really like what they're doing. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the second round for sure.
Unfortunately, we do not have any of the host countries in the second round. You mentioned Japan, Mukbil, and the Philippines, and the Indonesia also will not be represented in the second round. How does this? How does the format work for the second round?
So the second round will be similar to the group phase in the first round, where you have four groups that will be participating in this format, but it will be similar to the first round in that the top two teams will be advancing to the quarterfinals. So now we have group I, J, K, and L. To me, the group that looks the most challenging, I would have to say, would be between groups I and group L. I think the group I has Serbia, the Dominican Republic, Italy, and Puerto Rico. Group L has Canada, Spain, Latvia, and Brazil. Not to say that groups J and K aren't tough as well, but to me, when I'm looking at Group J with Lithuania, Montenegro, and Greece, I'm seeing that the U.S. should come out of that group comfortably.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the FIBA Basketball World Cup. And we're looking at the groups now for the second round of the competition. Mukbil, what about Group K?
Germany is in Group K with Germany, Slovenia, Australia, Georgia, which is also tough as well. Slovenia and Germany looking like, you know, they should be the top two teams to come out of that group as well, but anything is possible. And then you have Serbia and DR, the Dominican Republic, are the top two teams in Group I.
Dominican Republic, Mukbil, I know you like them. Would you say they're one of the surprise teams so far? Or is it too early?
I think they are a surprise team. They came out of their group 3-0. We mentioned this earlier off air. We have eight teams that were undefeated in group stages. Dominican Republic is one of those teams. They have Carl Anthony Towns from Minnesota, who is a Dominican Republic native as well.
Solid big man.
Super solid big. I think he maybe wanted to play for the DR side. The DR side has wanted him to play for them for a while now. And I think this is the first time he suited up for them because he also is American. He's played for the U.S. side as well in the past. So for him to play for the DR side, I think they're very excited. They've been wanting this for some time now, and he adds a completely different element to them. Easily by far their best player on that team.
Team USA bidding for a record sixth Basketball World Cup title. They're one of the unbeaten teams so far in the competition. And Mukbil, when you were running down some of the names of the top scorers, didn't hear any American names, but I think that speaks to how well-balanced the American squad is.
You know, sometimes when you have so many superstars, it's very difficult for them to get out and continually put up massive numbers because on any given day, it can be anybody. So at the moment, I believe Anthony Edwards is leading all players with about 16 points per game. After that, it's Paolo Banchero, the young man from the Orlando Magics, and he is an American. He's an Italian and an American, so he's okay. He has a dual citizenship, and Italy wanted him to play for them, but he didn't. Now, if Italy comes out of Group I, it's a possibility that they can also play the U.S. since the U.S. is in Group J, and that would be a matchup for for sure. So he's top two, and I believe Austin Reeves finishes it off with the top three, averaging about 11 points per game, but he also is leading them in assist. So Austin Reeves, AR-15. Is doing his thing.
Austin Reeves recently re-signed with the Los Angeles Lakers, and this type of international competition, Mukbil, what does it do for a player like Reeves going into a new NBA season?
Man, his contract was really good, man. I think he could have definitely gotten a lot more money, but he's there to play for that team, that organization. They know how to use his skill set. Sometimes, you know, a player goes to a different team, gets a little bit more money, but the team doesn't necessarily know how to use him and use him correctly. We've seen that the Lakers are, you know, they've really bought into AR. So it's going to be really great to see what he does next season. And this is just adding to his confidence, playing alongside a bunch of his peers that are kind of like in that same level as him and potentially, I think his trajectory is only up from here, you know. So playing alongside some of these stars, the Anthony Edwards of the world, you got Brandon Ingram on that team as well, who's a vet who kind of is leading them as well in his leadership. You have, you know, so many guys. Josh Hart is leading that team in rebounds with nine rebounds a game. You know Josh Hart is not out there. He's not the tallest guy, but he's so gritty. And he's really scrappy. And he's doing all the things that need to be done that may not show up on the score sheet, but he's getting it done. So great team effort. I'm really liking how the U.S. is playing.
Yeah, Team USA's coach Steve Kerr made a comment. We're 12 deep. And he likes how they just go after teams early in terms of the pressure defense to take them out of their rhythm.
Yeah. No.
But one other point before we wrap things up, Muckbill. Spain, the defending champion, through to the second round. But I don't see France. Would they be one? Maybe the biggest surprise that's not in the second round.
I believe so. You know, with having so many NBA talents, Evan Fournier, I believe, was on the list of top, you know, points per game.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. You know? Number six.
Right? Number six. You have Rudy Gobert, two-time or three-time, just multiple-time defensive player of the year, who's a seven-footer, you know, who's playing there. I honestly don't know how it was that they didn't make it through to the next round. That, to them, I believe they are easily the biggest disappointment to not being able to come out of that group phase, for sure.
Talking FIBA Basketball World Cup with Muckbill Yabarow. Thank you, Muckbill.
Yes, thanks for having me, Sonny.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As I mentioned earlier, Basketball World Cup debutante South Sudan did not reach the round of 16 after losing to Serbia on Wednesday. What's been the reaction in South Sudan? Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
Serbia's Eagles beat South Sudan's Bright Stars by 115 points to 83 points at the Smart Araneta Coliseum in Quezon City in the Philippines. Serbia's Eagles, who are three-time Euro basketball champions, dominated South Sudan's Bright Stars, who are participating in the FIBA World Cup for the first time. Winston Mayom Ayik, a South Sudanese who resides in the Kenyan capital Nairobi, says the Bright Stars made him and the country proud.
Generally, our team did so well in terms of consistency and how they have been conducting themselves so far. And I think it's just that they just met a very strong team, and even if they lost, I think we're so happy as South Sudan, because that has put us in a very good position in the World Cup. And I think next time we'll do better than this.
Jacob Bull, another South Sudanese who resides in Nairobi, says the Bright Stars lost Wednesday's game because of mental pressure. But Bull adds that the Bright Stars tried their best.
We all know it's a team that was just formed. Playing against an experienced team like Serbia was a challenge that was worth it, and they have tried their best getting into the game. They have put us into the world stage. It was a competitive game. The group itself had experienced players, so I think it went well.
Harriet Obi, who resides in the capital Juba, says she was disappointed to see the Bright Stars trailing behind Serbia. She says she is hopeful the team will do better next time.
I really feel so sad that we lost it this time. But however, we really need to appreciate our players for representing us to the next level. I mean, one level that we became recognized, and we hope we shall win in the nearest future.
The Bright Stars will still participate in the qualifying games for the Paris Olympics, scheduled for July 26, 2024. Another Juba resident, Kerbino Quell, who has been following the FIBA World Cup 2023 games, says he feels bad that South Sudan lost and is out of the competitions.
I feel sad and demoralized that we lost today to Serbia. However, I must say that South Sudan men's basketball team made the country proud because they qualified to the FIBA World Cup for the first time in history. This is amazing, and we have to really be proud of them. Despite our today's loss, we are proud of the team for their performance. They have united the country, and with this, we can really go further as a nation.
A Juba-based sports journalist, Danson Machek, says he is proud of the team's performance. He says qualifying for the FIBA World Cup 2023 is a great achievement for South Sudan's bright stars.
That is a big step, and that is a big statement that we have given people. Our basketball is coming bigger, and we will come back stronger and better. So I am very proud that the South Sudan national team have really represented us, and there is no doubt we will be in the airport to welcome them when they come back from Manila.
In another Group B game, Puerto Rico beat China 107 points to 89 points, securing a slot in the second round. Group B victors, Puerto Rico and Serbia, will face Italy and the Dominican Republic to get to the quarterfinals. South Sudan and four other African countries did not qualify for the second round. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Thanks, Charlton. VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Turning to tennis, 19-year-old American star Coco Gauff headed into the U.S. Open in New York after winning titles earlier this month in Cincinnati, Ohio, and right here in Washington. And Coco is through to the third round at the U.S. Open, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
Coco Gauff's U.S. Open campaign has now reached the third round, and after a three-hour struggle on day one, the sixth seed was relieved to get a fast straight sets win.
I'm happy I was able to get in three sets, not a long match like the 3 hours last match, so saved myself some time today.
She was joined in the women's third round by fellow Americans Taylor Townsend, Jennifer Brady, and Bernarda Pera. The 14th men's seed, Tommy Paul, pulled off the best American win for the day, coming back from two sets down to beat the Russian Roman Safiulin 6-3 in the last.
Today was a prime example of if I didn't do all those days in the gym, like I wouldn't have been able to win that match or like come back from two sets to love. Five sets are a different beast than two out of three.
Comfortable wins as well for Novak Djokovic and Iga Swiatek. I'm Graham Agars.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
In African athletics, Team Nigeria did not win a medal at the recent World Championships in Budapest, Hungary. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the president of the Nigerian Coaches Association, Gabriel Opona.
All right, in my own case, I would say you can't give what you don't have. You can only give what you have. And what we had, the performances we had, was the best the athletes could put down to represent the country. Even though some people here and there will say the best was not good enough, I'm not going to believe what they are saying. I'm not of that school of thought. These athletes did put in the best. They went there with the intention of performing very well. And like it is everywhere, sometimes when it's not your day, it's not today, no matter how you try to force it. So let's just leave it at this, that these athletes, they all did put in their best. I commend the athletes for the effort they did put in during the championship. We look forward to better performances some other time.
One of Nigeria's medal hopes, Toby Amoson, could not defend her title in the women's 100 meters hurdles race. Do you think the suspension by the Athletics Integrity Unit, AIU, affected Toby psychologically?
One thing I want everybody to know is that what runs in our veins, it's blood. Blood runs in our veins, and we're all human beings. She passed through a lot. She went through a lot. She was not, psychologically, she was down. And I don't think anybody would doubt her when she comes out to say, psychologically, I was down. I was going through a lot. And with the Toby, we know, that really brought her down. Even though Team Nigeria tried, they got her a psychologist, but still, she was still struggling. And like most people will know, when you're not 100% before a championship like this, that is what you should expect. She, as an individual, she tried. I spoke with her, and she was like, listen, coach, I'm good to go. I'm going to put in my best. She was able to get over that, and we're looking forward to her performance when she's fully ready to go after all the ups and downs.
Coach, what are the prospects of Team Nigeria in future international engagements like the African Games in Ghana and the Paris Olympic Games?
I'll say if going by the results of the World Championships and what we have experienced so far, we're going to make changes. We're going to look at areas we're supposed to have worked on. We're going to make changes, and hopefully we'll come up with better performances in the next international competitions like the All Africa Games and the Olympics. Just to let you know, preparations are going to be starting in earnest. So we'll start earlier than planned, earlier than expected, to see that most of the areas we needed to work on will be really worked on, and hopefully with better concentration from the athlete side and the coaching crew, we'll come up with better performances in the next international competition.
That's Gabriel Opona, the president of the Nigerian Coaches Association. And Coach Gabriel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from New York City.
Sporty greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gabriel Opona, president of the Nigerian Coaches Association. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Don't stop listening to this channel. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Gabriel. And thanks also to Iron Mike and Bonnier for that interview. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.